with all that has gone on over the weekend, probably a dozen different sermons I could preach, and I decided to do none of them. I personally, and I think for the congregation, need a bit of a change of pace. So we are going to be looking at Matthew 5, and I will explain the whole context of this during the sermon. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, what does it mean to be blessed? This morning we're going to look closely at that topic through the lens of this very familiar passage of Scripture from Matthew. And you may know this collection of biblical verses by its common title, the Beatitudes. The word beatitude is a Latin translation of the Greek word makarios, which is the word used in Matthew to begin each of these verses from Matthew 5, verses 3 through 11. And this word has been translated into English in different ways. The most common, as we heard from the New Revised Standard Version, which we use as our pew Bibles and from which I read, is the word blessed. But other biblical translations, and especially in the Old Testament wisdom literature, especially the book of Psalms, use happy are those, or how fortunate are those, or even congratulations to those. The Beatitude, however, when used in this particular New Testament context, serves as a pronouncement of God's favor toward those being addressed. Hence, blessed actually carries the meaning, God's favor is upon those who, or God blesses those, or God champions, or God is on the side of those. Now, before we take a closer look at the specific list of blessings from Matthew 5, let me briefly set these verses further in the biblical context. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew begin the first of five major sections that focus on the teachings of Jesus. And these three full chapters are commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And it begins with these verses that we call the Beatitudes. And a modern understanding of biblical scholarship suggests that the biblical author used what comes across as one really long sermon as an opportunity to combine lots of Jesus' teachings together in one place, which were most likely then taught at different times and in different places. We actually lose, therefore, their very original context from Jesus' ministry, but I do believe we lose very little of their meaning. So let's look at how this all begins with the blessings that Jesus proclaims. Now, it immediately becomes apparent that this isn't what anyone would typically expect on a top 10 list of relative blessedness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, i.e. justice, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and those who are reviled and persecuted because they are followers of Jesus. Something about this just does not sound right. The first one, for example, blessed are the poor in spirit. Sounds like this could also mean blessed are the troubled. Perhaps even blessed are the depressed. Perhaps that's how startling these pronouncements should be to us. And simple observations of the way of the world then and now suggest that it is the rich, financially and spiritually, who are blessed, not the poor. Those who are untouched by loss are blessed, not those who mourn and grieve. Those who are powerful are blessed, not the meek and the humble. Those who are treated fairly and respectfully are blessed, not those who are reviled and persecuted for seeking justice. Now, our culture is so grounded in competition and fear that it seems almost impossible to get anywhere in life if a person is poor in spirit, is peaceful, is merciful, or weak. The Beatitudes, then, seem to have things backwards. And that's not a surprise in the Gospel of Matthew, where once again we are faced with a theme known as the reversal of fortunes in the realm of God. And a common misinterpretation of the Beatitudes is that these traits are a call to action, or a list of virtues that are demanded of us as some sort of entrance requirement to be accepted and acceptable in God's realm, God's household. An erroneous way to approach the Beatitudes, then, is to see them as an ethical code, as instructions for righteous living, or a list of tasks that, once fulfilled, may win God's favor. But no, and this is the most important part. Jesus is not asking the crowd or us to become poor in spirit, or mourners, or persecuted for righteousness' sake in order to receive God's favor and blessings. Instead, what Jesus is doing is offering consolation, encouragement, and hope to those who already find themselves poor in spirit, or in a state of mourning, or persecuted for doing the right thing. Jesus wants us to recognize God's favor is upon us not only when life is good, or when things seem to be going our way, but also when life is tough and isn't fair and is not going well. When life is tough, many of us have a tendency to think that God is testing us, or worse, has abandoned us. That is bad theology, at least in my opinion. Life is tough simply because life is tough. Jesus is saying that God is already blessing those of us who are hurting. Perhaps even more importantly, we are meant to simply receive and recognize God's favor and blessing rather than any attempt to try to achieve them. For God's favor comes to us before we try to earn anything. We call that grace. Admittedly, however, grace is still a hard concept for many of us to accept, let alone understand. We need to see the Beatitudes, then, not as a code of ethics, but as a pastoral gift. Something that many of us need at this particular moment. And there are blessings that are spoken both in the present and, yes, the future tense. For instance, blessed are those who mourn, present tense, for they will be comforted, future tense. So it may also help to remember, as one biblical commentator puts it, Christianity is not a scheme to reduce stress, lose weight, advance one's career, or preserve one from illness. Christian faith, instead, is a way of living based on firm and sure hope that meekness is the way of God, that righteousness and peace will finally prevail, that God's future will be a time of mercy and not cruelty. So blessed are those who live this life now, even when such a life is difficult or seems foolish, for they will, in the end, be vindicated. For let us not confuse being blessed with being successful, or having good luck, or being in a perpetual state of happiness. Instead, know that God's favor is granted to those whom society regards as the ones left behind. And to be blessed, then, is to be filled with that spirit of hope and encouragement and reassurance, even when the outward signs of our life or the nation's life seem otherwise. Biblical commentator Marshall Riggs summarizes it. The Beatitudes are spoken to those group whom God deems worthy, not by virtue of their own achievements or status in society, but because God chooses to be on the side of the weak, the forgotten, the despised, the justice seekers, the peacemakers, and those persecuted because of their beliefs. So as you leave this sanctuary this day, know that you are blessed. God's favor is upon you. And it's my hope and prayer that each of us, by God's grace, may be able to recognize and acknowledge God's favor, especially when life is tough.